come to me, come to me now. Lay your arms around me. This is why, this is why.
That was This Is Why We Fight from the Decemberists. T-Bird and the Breaks brought us Living With Love in front of that, and it was Eleanor Underhill with Imperfect World. You're listening to Undercurrents. I'm Gabriela. We'll hear Arcade Fire in just a minute.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills No Frills, Volume 4. Now through April, you'll hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our fantastic programmers, including specials for Black History Month and International Women's Day. If you'd like to check out our specials, go to kboo.fm/AT.
The thrills continue here on KBOO as the Monday Sampler, starting April 14th at 2 p.m., will present throughout the rest of April episodes from The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles.
This is a love story. But don't worry, there's action in it. Arab chieftains, international gangsters, and a buried treasure.
Tune in Mondays, starting April 14th and throughout the month at 2 p.m., as the Monday Sampler presents Orson Welles in The Lives of Harry Lime.
But essentially, this is a tale about one of the times I fell in love. Now don't laugh. I'm not the first man that happened to, or the third man either.
It's The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles, starting April 14th at 2 p.m. on the Monday Sampler, right here on KBOO Portland.
Hello, and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. According to the ancient Chinese sages, the most achievable way to health, longevity, and enlightenment starts with the earth path of Taoism, which guides people to physically nurture the body, calm the mind, and stir the spirit. Our guest today is Sifu Peter Newton, author of the new book, 8 Steps to Living a Long Life, The Earth Path of Taoism. Peter is a registered senior instructor and honorary vice president of the Tai Chi Union for Great Britain. An expert in his field, he specializes in medical Tai Chi, applying Tai Chi and Qigong as a remedial therapy for a variety of health conditions. With more than 40 years of experience and training directly with Chinese masters, Peter lives in Llandudno, Wales, in the UK. Well, hello, Sifu Peter, and welcome to the Pathway Show.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Okay, so people call you Sifu, which is a title, right? I mean, what does it mean? And yeah. to what might it roughly correspond to in Western culture?
It would mean teacher. It would mean teacher, and it can also mean master as well. Master, teacher. Okay. It can correlate to just straightforward to a teacher. In the Chinese world, usually if you've reached Sifu status, usually you're classed into what they call a master status.
And how did you achieve that status? Did somebody give that to you or declare that for you? Or did you just take it on yourself?
No, it's an accumulation of years spent with my Chinese teachers. And what happens is it's a sort of a strange way of doing it, but it's It's perfectly acceptable to me. The first time I was called a master by my Chinese teacher was when he was holding a large seminar and I was in the queue to pay to go in. And he walked up to me in the queue as he was passing and took me away from the queue, went up to the booth where they were taking the money to go in to see his seminar, and said, "Masters don't need to pay."
Wow.
It's that type of thing. It's done in that way, basically. I have certificates from my Chinese teachers as well. But it tends to be more a verbal thing with them, you know. And I did a big festival up in Newcastle, run by a famous Chinese master up there, Paul Chen. And it was all the masters came in from all around the world to this big international Chinese arts tournament. And I was on the bill. They invited me to be one of the opening performers on the bill. In fact, I was the opening performer. So you can imagine how squeaky bum I was on that occasion. Huge audience, TV cameras, and a bank of masters facing me from around the planet. And I was given an ID, and it was Sifu Peter Newton. So and that was, again, the Chinese doing it. So that's how you do it. It
I
became
see.
That way. It comes that way to you, really. It's because you put the hours in. Really.
Right. Okay, so now before we delve into the earth path of Taoism, let's get a brief take on Taoism itself for our listeners who might not be that familiar. Would you consider Taoism a religion, for example?
I personally don't. I don't see it as a religion. I've been following the pathway of Taoism now for 45 years. And the teachers I've trained with, it's like the three masters I've trained with, none of them have portrayed it to me as a religion. It's never been put in that way as a religion. It's just like a philosophical pathway that runs parallel with your Tai Chi training and your Qigong training.
Okay.
So it supports what you do, but it's not like you know what we understand as religion, Christianity, and you know Islam and all that. It's nothing like that in the least.
Yeah. Well, you know, the definition of religion is an interesting question in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that a religion is belief centric, like Christianity and Islam. And I'm wondering, to what extent does being a Taoist depend upon beliefs?
You'd have to ask a Taoist that question.
Well, you're a Taoist, right?
I'm not a Taoist. No. I follow the interesting aspects of Taoism, and I have involved myself into it, but I walk the middle path. I've also written a book called The Middle Path of Tai Chi. That was my first major book I wrote, and that was about 10 years or more ago. And that's the path I'm on. I'm on the path where I've got one foot in society with my wife, my kids, and grandson, and you know, living my normal life. My other foot is in the world of Tai Chi, which is embroiled in mystical Taoism that runs in parallel with it. And I find it fascinating, but I don't absorb myself into it. Otherwise, I'd be ended up living up on one of the mountains here in Wales in a little temple somewhere, you know, chanting, making incantations, and that's not me. I'm a middle path man. I run right down the middle.
Okay, so you are like, you know, a medical practitioner in a sense. You're helping people heal using some of these techniques that derive from the Taoist worldview. And I'm wondering, you know, there are legends of the Taoist immortals whose practice freed them from the cycle of birth and death. Do you believe in immortality? And is that something you're seeking?
I've never met anyone that I've seen who's actually, even the highest level masters that I've met, and I've met some serious Tai Chi masters who follow the, you know, the Taoist way in a sense, and they're all like me. They got their lives going on in society, Confucianism in a way, and their interest is in the Taoism and the Tai Chi and the Qigong, and they've evolved to level, so certain levels, but the ultimate Taoist aim is to go to what's called the greater path. And the greater path is where you go on to absolute immortality. I've never met anybody yet who has even traveled along that path. The furthest I've seen is my masters who have actually achieved what they call grandmaster status, and they are way down what's called the middle path of life. So that to me is on my goal. I'm quite happy to do that, because by doing that, I'll have a long and healthy life. I'm in my 70th year, and I'm quite robust in health. So it seems to be working, you know?
Okay. Well, you know, it occurs to me that the dream of immortality, that's the pursuit of longevity taken to an extreme.
It is the extreme end of it. You are right.
But most people think they want to live a long life. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is the length of one's life the most important thing?
Well, the thing is if you can live a long life and have contentment and quality in your life, it's better than having a short life that has contentment and quality in. You know, if you want your to extend the quality and contentment and healthy body, healthy mind, you want to extend that as long as you can to enjoy it. So the ultimate aim of the Earth Path, which is, you know, the book is basically based on, is to be as healthy as you can for as long as you can. And then by doing that, you've reached the stage of content. You look back on your life and say, you're contented. I've done well, and I've led a healthy and a happy life. So that to me is a realistic goal for us on the earth. You know, it's only going to be very, very few. And I mean, if you can count them on one hand, who would actually maybe ultimately achieve the immortality status, which then takes you onto what they call the greater path of development. And that's people who actually go into a recluse state where they have to segregate themselves from society in order to spend that time to raise their spiritual energy to such a level that they can leave their bodies and become immortal. That's something I won't achieve that, but I'm happy to go for the long life thing. That's what I'm working on.
And how long do you want to live?
As long as I can function happily and healthily. So if I can get to 100, I'll be happy. If I get beyond 100, I'll be happy, as long as I can function, be independent, and be contented and happy.
Right.
That's so. As long as I'm quite happy. I mean, there's a out of interest. There's a university in the Netherlands, and I'll just quote what they've said here about the length of life. It's called the Tilburg University, and they've done a study on the potential men and women, how long they can live for, and it's a fairly recent study. And what they're saying is, and I'll actually quote you what they're saying, and I believe this is true. They're saying the maximum ceiling for a female lifespan, they believe, with modern medicine and that individual looking after themselves, being sensible, is 115.7 years for a female.
Mm-hmm.
And for a man, 114.1. So we're, you know, just over a year behind them.
Right.
So we're catching up to the ladies. That's the thing we're doing right at the moment. They're saying this isn't about life expectancy, but about lifespan, which is used to determine how long a single individual can live as long as they look after themselves.
Right.
And that's the thing, looking after yourself. Now that, I hasten to add, is without the information that comes in from Tai Chi and Qigong. So if you bring that into your life as well, you could do what the Chinese lady I heard on the radio, an interview, she's gone now, this was about 20 years ago. They interviewed a 120-year-old Chinese lady, and she said on the radio that the reason why she'd reached 120, because she's always keeping herself busy, she practiced, she exercised daily, always kept busy, and she eats pork. That was it. And I thought, I'll try that. I'll have some of that. Yeah. That was about 20 years ago, you know.
So that's the bacon diet.
Bacon butties, bacon sandwiches. Yeah, lovely.
So you point out that the ancient Taoists were involved in longevity research before anyone else on Earth, as far as we know.
And I
know just from interviews I've done and studies I've made that there are Taoists today who maintain that longevity is related to sperm retention, which of course is a totally male-oriented thing. But do you think there's anything to that?
I think there's a certain amount to that. This is the extremes again. You're talking about the extreme end of Taoism, which I don't go near. I use what I think is practical for my life so that I can lead a balanced life, which then hopefully will extend, and et cetera. But the sperm retention, the way I was taught was that as you get older, you retain your sperm, because if you don't, you will find that it will damage your life force. So when they say retain, it means don't have as many emissions like you did when you were 21.
Well, for
when
sure.
When you were 21, you were a factory. Your hormones were pumping out your ears and you were a factory. When you get into your 60s, you'll find that you try and be like you were when, and you'll soon literally dry up and fall over. You know?
Right.
So,
okay.
So you have to be sensible to suit your age.
I just wanted to ask. I know it's not that relevant to your book, but I had to ask that question because it's so interesting. But your book is specifically about the Earth path of Taoism.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many paths are there?
There's three.
Okay.
Three paths. The first path, which is the path that I believe is the path that most people who've never done Tai Chi, people who just are searching for something in their lives that they want to get on in their lives and be healthy and lead a balanced life. The Earth path is it, really. That's for you humans walking the Earth right now. The middle path is for more for the people who actually want to explore the deeper, go down the deeper aspects of it. And see what they can do beyond the Earth path. Can I get to 120? Can I get to 130? You know, and that's the middle path. It will take you that bit further and raise your, they say it raises your awareness and your spiritual energy another level when you go along onto the, so you go Earth path, next path is the middle path. The middle path kicks in in an overlapping situation where, so as you travel along the Earth path, you're learning so much about how to center your life and center yourself. The middle path is already appearing then. And
I
so
see.
What happens, it's where you go after the Earth path. And it's the middle path is where you flow onto.
Right.
Which is basically where I am now. So I wouldn't be able to write about the Earth path if I hadn't walk the path from the beginning of the Earth right to the end of it, which is then flow onto the middle path.
Okay.
Next path is the third path is called the greater path. And the greater path is the one with what we were talking about. There's very few, a handful of people who will actually try and attempt to walk that path onto the highest level of immortality. And it's all that becomes very internal, very segregated, dedicated your life to that one thing, you know. And I won't be doing that.
Okay. So with regard to the Earth path, you're a practitioner and a teacher of Tai Chi and Qigong. So how would you describe these practices, and how did you discover them?
It was back in late 1970s. I felt I was looking for something. I needed something in my life. I tried karate, and it wasn't suitable for me. And I tried Aikido, and I was being thrown around with Aikido, and I found my, I'm 6'4", so my long, lanky legs were being hit in the floor, and I was coming back with horrendous bruises. So I'm not, the length of my body wasn't suitable for Aikido. And then I saw a Chinese gentleman in his late 90s performing in a TV documentary. And it turns out he was a Tai Chi master or grandmaster. And you know, when you see somebody, you say, that's it, that light bulb moment. That was it for me. That's what I wanted. That's what I've been looking for. And I just listened to what they said, and it was Tai Chi. So then I got into Tai Chi by seeing this Chinese gentleman who was 70 years older than me, 70 more than 70 years older than me, and I couldn't even do anything that he was doing. His balance, his movements, his grace, his coordination, everything was blowing my mind watching him moving in his 90s. So I thought, that's what I want. And I found it for here in Wales. So I started off in a Chinese arts kung fu school in Wales. And that's where I got my initial introduction from it. So that's what attracted me, and that's where I got the idea of Tai Chi from.
Okay. So now your book has been described as a reference book. I mean, in fact, you write, you should not read it like you would a novel. So what audience was it written for, and how would you describe the best use of your book?
The best use of the book is for people who are looking for something, like the honeybee situation, where they flip from flower to flower to flower. So they flip from one thing and they try it, and then they flip to another thing and try, and they go to another thing. And each time they're not satisfied, they come away, that's not for me, that's not. So if you're searching for something in your life, and there's probably millions of people out there who are, that you feel needs to ground you and center you and give you purpose, then that's why I wrote the book. It's the book to focus you on something that is real, that the writer is living by. And as I say, I'm incredibly strong, flexible, powerful. I can do things now that I couldn't do in my 20s. And I'm in my 70th year now, and I'm still out there teaching. It's working for me. And if it works for me, it can work for anybody. You know?
But do you think Tai Chi is relevant to the Western mentality? Or does it take somebody like you who probably was Chinese in a previous lifetime?
Yeah, I could have been, actually. I could well have been. It's not uncommon to hear things like that. I've had some psychic experiences as part of my, which I know I feel like I'm being guided. Certainly, I believe I got Chinese guides. So I could have been a Chinese in the previous life. But people who are in the Western world, you know, we in the Western world, the beauty of this art is that you can practice it and still be in the Western world. And it's the sort of thing that wraps around you and protects you from the stresses of the Western world. And it's, if you got the right teacher, you find the right qualified teacher, you'll find instant benefits that you can then just incorporate into your life. And it's, you don't have to do anything strange, or, you know, light candles and incense and all that sort of thing. All you need to do is learn about your body, how it works. And that's what Tai Chi does. Tai Chi and Qigong, it's all about looking at yourself and learning how it works. And then they also then teach you how to make it work better. And that affects your mind. It makes your mind work better and clearer and stronger, and your spirit lifts, and your breathing becomes deeper. All these things, very easy to pick up from the world of Tai Chi.
Okay, so if I took up the training that you are presenting in the book, how long would it take for me to notice a difference?
I usually say instant, and that's only if you wish to do it. I've had some people walk in, you can see they're reluctant just to walk in, and they don't want to be there. So you can't do anything for people like that. But the people who come in who are interested and want to be there and want to really make changes in their life, positive changes, they will instantly feel a benefit. One lesson, they'll notice the difference. But then 6 months down the line, and I always say it's good to take a photograph of yourself standing in what you would class as your normal posture at the beginning, and then take another picture of yourself 6 months down the line and compare the two. And you'll be quite surprised, pleasantly surprised, what 6 months of Tai Chi training and Qigong training will do for you. It's amazing.
Now, there's certainly a ton of value in learning that a person could take from your book, but is there a way that person that a student could add to that and learn directly from you?
I do an online thing on a Tuesday. Sorry, on a Thursday. So it's called a monthly workshop, and anybody interested in that, they can contact me, and all I need is their email, and I will be able to send them the information and how they register for the Thursday night workshop that I do. I just one a month, and I've got a good attendance already, but there's always room for more on Zoom.
Right.
You can have. You can add more people in easily. So that's how they can directly from me. But if ever you're visiting Wales, come and see me and come to one of my classes. I think you'll be pleasantly enlightened when you see what I do in these classes. It blows people's minds, this stuff. It's amazing.
Right. There's so much interesting value in your book. There's a you teach about we don't have much time, but I want to mention that there's a chapter, a section on profound breathing, which is an interesting concept. And then there's a section on the primordial Shen, and there's the Jing Zuo meditation. There's just so much in here. And we don't have, we just got another minute, but tell us about the primordial Shen and why it's important to longevity.
Big problem in society is people lacking in spirit, lacking in self-belief, lacking in self-worth. That means the Shen is weak. Okay? So with Tai Chi training, your posture improves, your breathing gets deeper. By breathing deeper, it brings more oxygen to the brain. You find your through good posture, then your spirit lifts. It makes you feel mentally that all the chemistry in your body goes into positive chemistry. That lifts your spirits. And that spirit lifted spirit is called Shen. That's your Shen. And that what happens is it stays with you. It stays with you. It's not like it comes and goes. It stays, I'm in a constant state of Shen, and it's a lovely feeling. It's fantastic. I wake up in the morning and there's a zest. Let's get at the day, wonderful. And that's what Shen's about. And thankfully, I've experienced it over these 45 years, and hopefully, I'll carry on experiencing. And it's the Shen that helps you live long because weak-spirited people have low immune systems, and the DNA starts to degrade when your spirits are low. So you lift your spirits, your DNA lives longer, and that's the key to living long.
I want to thank you, Peter, Sifu Peter, for being on our show. There's so much more that we could explore. Unfortunately, it's a half hour show and we have run out of time. But I want to make sure to tell our listeners about your website where they can get information on your teachings and on your books and probably everything you do. And it's ChinaBridgeTaiChi.com. So that's all one word, ChinaBridgeTaiChi.com. And Tai Chi is Taichi. And I really want to encourage our listeners to tune into that and check it out because you are a profound teacher and we're very grateful to be with you today. And I want to, and for those in our audience who may have tuned in to Pathways late today, this is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, don't worry, you can play or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Sifu Peter Newton, author of the book, 8 Steps to Living a Long Life, The Earth Path of Taoism. I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast on KBOO FM in Portland, Oregon. And you can always listen to the podcast version for free at divination.com. That's divination.com, as well as on Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel. Just look up Pathways Radio and other free podcast servers. So please, if you like what we're doing, give us a thumbs up and subscribe, and feel free to forward the link to your friends. This is Paulo bidding you adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcasts. And thanks again to Sifu Peter Newton and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
Do you like discovering new music and reconnecting with some older but perhaps forgotten favorites? Then look no further. Tune into The Listening Room with host Timothy P.